Today we'll be hearing from Romans 10. Please follow along on the screen or in your own Bibles. And if you want a paper Bible and don't have one, just raise your hand and the ushers can bring you one. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 15. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Our loving God, we pray that you would speak to us, Lord. May your word not just enter our minds and go out one ear and out the other ear. But Lord, we pray, God, may you use your word as you speak to us to convict our hearts, to bring transformation, not just understanding, but transformation, Lord. Show us, Lord, what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into this, I just want to say, so next week we're going to talk about what we hope to be doing. Reverend Ying is going to talk to us about what we hope to be doing at Milson's Point. So just because we have a heart to possibly plant a church in Macquarie Park doesn't mean, you know, we're all just going to go. But, you know, we are still trying to build here. We want to reach people. This needs to be a gospel center as well. And so Reverend Ying is going to talk to us about that next week. So there's a reason, there's reasons to go for sure, but there's reasons to stay. That's what we want to say. Be praying about that and ask us questions if you do. All right, so Romans 10, verses 9 to 15. Picture this. A young child falls into a swimming pool, a toddler perhaps, and there's people nearby. They're close enough to help, right? They see the toddler in the pool and the kid's panicking, like can't swim. And they look and they gasp. But then no one moves. None of them move. None of them do anything. Each person assumes, oh, someone else is going to jump in and save the person. But no one does. And tragically, that kid drowns. Tragic, right? Could that tragic picture be a mirror of something that is happening all around us spiritually? People in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our families, all around us, perishing without Christ. And what do we sometimes assume? Someone else, maybe. Someone else is going to tell them the gospel. Surely someone else is going to go to them. Surely someone else is going to give or pray or speak. Someone else. But what if no one does that? How will they hear? What's happening in our hearts when we stay silent? Maybe we're afraid. Oh, it feels safer, more comfortable, just to stay put and keep this sort of my faith kind of like just quiet, you know? I'm comfortable here. I'll just be a Sunday Christian. Maybe we're too distracted. We're too caught up in our own pursuits, what I'm trying to chase in my life. And we lose the perspective that there is an eternity. There's an eternity with God, and there's an eternity without God. And how we see people matters. But we lose sight because we're too distracted. We're too distracted pursuing our own goals and ambitions. Maybe we've convinced ourselves, oh, we're not the right person. You know, sharing the gospel, well, that's for evangelists. That's for the people who are bold enough. You know, I'm not trained. It's not for me. Or God can use someone that's better than me, right? All these excuses, reasons we could give that we convince ourselves, we justify ourselves and say, well, not me. But what if God wants to use you? And he does want to use you. Well, Romans 10 verses 9-15. Sorry, you can QR code there if you haven't got it. This passage, hopefully as you've been hearing that read to us before, is like a spiritual alarm clock. It should wake us up, and it calls every follower of Jesus to participate in God's rescue mission. We're not meant to be just bystanders next to the pool and just go, oh, someone else will do it. We are part of it. We are part of God's mission. So I have 3 points that I want to make in a moment. But they all circle around one key question, and that is this question that I want you to take away with you today. Be asking yourself this question. God is asking you, how will they hear? How will they hear? So the first point is this. People must respond to the gospel to be saved. It's so important for us to get this. People need to respond to the gospel. It doesn't just happen. They need to respond to something, right? And that's the gospel. Romans is one of the clearest explanations of salvation in the Bible. You know, Paul is writing to this young church, both Jews and Gentiles, and he's saying, Jews, Gentiles, look, how do you get saved? It's the same for all of you, whether you're a Jew or Gentile. It's the same way to be saved. Everyone is saved by grace through faith in Christ. The same way. And all the way back in Romans 3, he says, everyone, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, everyone needs this gospel because everyone is a sinner. He says, there is no one righteous, not even one. So no human being on their own can be saved. They can't save themselves. No amount of effort or goodness or religiosity can do it. They need God to send someone who is good enough to save them. And that's what God does. He sends Jesus. We are only saved by trusting in what God has done for us, not in what we do. What God has done for us in Jesus. That's how any of us are saved. So that's all the way through Romans. Then we come now, Romans 10 verse 9. And Paul says very clearly, you must respond. If you want to be saved, you must respond. And he says this, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Salvation is not automatic. You can't just watch Jesus being crucified on the cross and be a bystander, like a bystander by the pool. You can't just go, oh yeah, Jesus died, and just see it and not do anything about it, not respond to it. That doesn't save you. Looking at it doesn't save you. The gospel is God's love for you. It's God's grace. It is a gift, but it still demands a response. When someone gives you a present, what do you say? You say thank you, but it's not really anything unless you open it and you start to enjoy it, right? You must respond. In order to receive this gift of salvation, we all need to respond, and our families need to respond, and the people who live next to you need to respond. People who live across the road, who live in your, who work with you in the office or at school, uni, they need to respond to the gospel. So Paul tells us what that response is, and there's two parts to this faith response. It is to declare and to believe. To declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. What's that mean? That means to declare that Jesus, well, you have allegiance to Jesus. It's this public, outward declaration, right? It's saying, yes, Jesus is my Lord. He's the King of my life. He's the one who rules my life, how I live, what I live for. And secondly, the second part of the response is to believe, right? To believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And that's not just this mental agreement. It's a deep personal trust. Yes, Jesus died for my sins and he rose from the dead, and you can stake your life on it. When you say you believe in the resurrection, you believe that his death on the cross really worked. That your sins was nailed to the cross with Jesus. He died in your place. And he rose from the dead to show you that his death really did work to forgive you of your sins. That he really did and can defeat death. And he can raise you back to life after this life. So that is the response, to declare and believe. And he says it again in verse 10. He says this, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Did you notice that he reverses the order this time, right? So before he said declare, believe. This time he says believe, profess, right? Same, profess, declare, similar, but the reverse order this time. Why does he reverse the order? I think he reverses the order to show that both the inward belief and the outward confession go hand in hand. They both need to happen. You can't say, oh, Jesus is my Lord, but don't believe it in your heart, right? They must both be true. And don't just believe it in your heart, but it means nothing to you. That doesn't mean enough to you that you're going to talk about it, right? So Jesus says, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks, right? We talk about the things that we love. So if you really believe that Jesus is alive, then you'll talk about it. You'll speak of it. You'll show it in how you live your life. You'll share it with others if it's true that this is what you really believe, that this is what really matters in your life. You care about it and it's the thing which shapes your life. Then you'll talk about it. You wouldn't keep it to yourself. So, people, if they want to be saved, must respond to the gospel, right? But here's the sobering truth. If no one responds to the gospel, they won't be saved, right? people need to respond. Imagine, someone, dying in the desert of thirst. You know, wondering, like, how am I going to get out of this desert of life? But then someone else comes along and throws them a water bottle. But imagine if that person just goes, oh, it's a water bottle. That's good. But they don't open it. They don't drink it. They don't respond to it. Well, they still die, right? And this is so important for us to understand. Salvation requires a response. But how can people respond unless they hear? That's the next point. Next point is this. To respond, people must hear. Verse 14 says this. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And herein lies, right in the middle there, this question that I want to be like ringing in your ears as you go home today. And how is the question, how will they hear? Well, they won't unless someone tells them. The logic is pretty simple in Paul's words here. No one can call on Jesus without believing. No one can believe unless they've heard. And no one can hear unless someone goes and speaks. Pretty simple logic. And that's the logic which I want us all to understand. It's obvious. The need is urgent. People around us are perishing, and they will perish unless someone goes to them and tells them the gospel, because they won't ever hear unless someone does that, right? So how can they respond unless someone, they hear it from someone? Think about it like this. During World War II, some Allied pilots, they get shot down, and some of them survive, but they had a backup plan if they got shot down or their plane crashed. They survived, and they had this one lifeline. They all had this mini radio. And receive every night they would receive these instructions of the command center would broadcast these instructions. Oh, this is hide here, go here now. This is where the soldiers, they're coming this way, go this way, and you've got to follow the instructions in order to be saved. And then this is going to be the rescue point. Make sure you're here at this point. If you follow the instructions, you're going to be saved. But imagine there's this one pilot. This is AI created, by the way. Imagine there's this one pilot who's crouched in a barn, terrified, and he's clutching his radio, and he's waiting for the instructions. Oh, what do I do next? What do I do next? And then he discovers his batteries are dead. So he never hears the instructions. And because he never hears, he never gets saved. The rescue is happening. They're telling them where to go. The rescue is real. This is the pickup point. But he never hears it. And that's the situation that lots of people are in all around us. Unless someone tells them, then they won't hear. And they stay lost. And they don't get saved, even though the rescue is real. Jesus has died and risen from the dead. The rescue is real. Salvation is there for the taking. But they never hear it. And that's what Paul is saying here. How will they hear? How will they hear the gospel if no one goes to them and speaks it? So my third point, fairly simple. For people to hear, someone must go. Someone must go to the people who need to hear and tell them the gospel. Verse 15 says this. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So Paul is quoting from Isaiah 52 where a runner comes with breathtaking news to this messenger to Israel. And it's great news because they're in exile, right? And the messenger says, the exile is over. You can go back home now. Peace is coming. Salvation has arrived. Great news. And Paul says, that's what gospel messengers are like today. Messengers who bring good news, right? Beautiful feet because they carry a beautiful message. How will they hear if no one is sent? Well, beautiful feet hopefully get sent, right? And take this message of salvation. Christ has died for your sins and risen from the dead so that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven, so that you can have new life with God forever. Wonderful news. Please hear it and be saved. How will they hear if no one is sent? Well, who sends? God does, right? God is the one who sends. And the church does. The church sends. You come not just to come, but you come to be sent out as you receive the gospel and are transformed by the gospel and are trained up by the gospel. You're not meant to just keep it to yourself, but you're meant to be sent out into the world, into your workplaces, into where you do life, study, work, playground, office, wherever, where you live, and take it to the world around you so that others can hear the gospel from you and be saved. And so, as we think about who should be sent, the answer is all of us who have received. All of us who have been saved. We have experienced how good it is to know God, to be forgiven, to have this relationship with God. Why wouldn't we want others to have that too? Because we know it's so good, then we want others to have it. And just as, Pastor Dan said to us last week, when we look at the people around us, what do we think? At FY last Friday, our perspective should change. We no longer see others from a worldly perspective, but we're ambassadors of Christ now. And as we studied that on Friday night, when we see people with the perspective of, do they know Jesus or don't they know Jesus? It's not, what do they do for work, or, how much money are they making, or, are they, someone famous? That doesn't really matter. What really matters about every single human being is that, do they know Jesus or don't they know Jesus? And if they don't know Jesus, they need to hear about Jesus. So all around us, the harvest is plentiful. Lots of people perishing. The workers are few. Pray for more workers. People are lost without a shepherd. They need to hear about Jesus. And maybe when we pray for more workers, God is saying, maybe you are one of those workers. So this mission is for every Christian. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the, you know, the gifted evangelist. Not just for the missionaries. It's for all of us. Every Christian has this calling to go and share the gospel with people around us. Now, you know, I love how our church supports lots of different missionaries, and we saw at the dinner we had this little trivia, and the question was, which continent don't we support a missionary? Who remembers the answer? South America, right? I thought it was Africa. I thought it was, anyway. But you know, it's incredible that we support missionaries all around the world. I love it. I love that our church does that. And you know, all around the world, there's incredible need for people to hear the gospel. There's great groups of people, the unreached people's groups all around the world, where there is like barely any Christian witness, barely any. There's no church, barely any Christians. If they're Christians, they're really underground, they get really persecuted. So there's a great need for the gospel to go into these places. And maybe God is sending some of you, one of you, to go to one of these unreached people's groups. That would be incredible. Praise the Lord if he's calling you to do that. And I pray that we as a church would support that and encourage you. But for most of us, he's not calling us to go into an unreached people's group on the other side of the world. For most of us, God is calling us not to go there, but to go next door. To go across the street. To go across to the cubicle over there in your office where that person doesn't know Jesus. To go, maybe, to Macquarie Park. God is not calling us to do something that we find super radical, like going to another country. But he's already calling us to do the mission work that's all around us every single day. In your classroom, in your office, in the cafe where you do your uni work, wherever. Opportunities are all around us. So, again, I ask you to consider this very important question. How will they hear? How will they hear? Paul says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Do you have beautiful feet? Or maybe your feet are timid, too afraid to speak. I was going to put up a picture of like different kinds of feet, but probably like not going to go down well. Beautiful feet, you know, dirty feet. No, no. Or maybe your feet are lazy. Right? Maybe. Too distracted, too comfortable, right? Or maybe your feet are misdirected. This goal, this message over here, do this, do that, but never thinking about eternity. Never thinking that the gospel is what people need to hear and you should have a greater purpose than perhaps some of the purposes that you have right now. Today, by God's grace, hopefully your feet can become beautiful. Feet that carry a beautiful message, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that Jesus rose from the dead, that he's alive right now, and salvation is real, and hope is real, and living for God with great purpose is great freedom. Send it to the world, everyone. I'm not saying it's easy, and sometimes putting your faith out there is uncomfortable and it's risky and it's difficult, and it's like climbing a mountain sometimes, and it requires great perseverance. And you know, and I've lost friends who rejected me because of my persistence in telling them the gospel. It won't be easy sometimes, but it is worth it when one person hears the gospel and says, "I believe. And I'm saved. This is the best. Thank you that you took the risk to share the gospel with me." The gospel is beautiful. God wants you to have beautiful feet, and he wants you to share it. Let me finish with this story of two young Moravian Christian men, Johann Dober and David Nietzschmann. In 1732, these men heard of how there were thousands of enslaved Africans on the island of St. Thomas in the Caribbean. There's no Bible, there's no church, and no one to tell them about Jesus. And their slave owners basically said, "You know, these guys, they have no souls worth saving. Don't worry about them." But these guys, Johann and David, they were gripped by the gospel, and they were willing, and they heard of the plight, and they were willing to go, and they thought, "Now, how are we going to get in there?" And they thought, "Maybe we need to become slaves. Yes, we'll go, we'll sell ourselves as slaves to live with these slaves so we can tell them the gospel." In the end, they didn't have to. Fortunately, become slaves. But they did go. They did board the ship, knowing the risk, being prepared to do that if they had to, and knowing that they might never, ever return to their families. They sailed away, and their families wept for them. And they cried back, "Don't worry. The Lamb of God that was slain, may he receive the reward of his suffering." And they went because they knew this question that really mattered. How will they hear? How will they hear unless someone goes to them? They were willing to go. And so I want to close with a challenge for all of us this morning. The challenge is a prayer. It's a dangerous prayer, personal prayer. A prayer that if you pray sincerely, though, will transform your life and your priorities. It will make you uncomfortable because then you'll realize, "I need to do more than what I'm doing now with the gospel that I've received." But it will make your feet beautiful. And the prayer is simply to ask God, "Lord, send me." How will they hear? Send me. If you're a believer, you've trusted in Jesus, you received the joy of salvation, with this question ringing in your ears, how will they hear? Well, then please, if that matters to you, pray this prayer with me, okay? Do it if you really want to take the risk and live this dangerous life as an ambassador of Christ. If you're a Christian, pray this prayer with me, and let's have beautiful feet, okay? I'm going to pray it slowly. You can repeat it in your own heart and claim it for yourself. Father God, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, that through your Son, Jesus, I am forgiven, that I am saved, and I have eternal life, and I belong to you, God. Lord, there are people in my life who are perishing. They haven't heard the gospel. They don't know you. Lord, forgive me for assuming that someone else will go. Show me the people all around me who need to hear about Jesus. Give me eyes to see. Give me courage to speak. Give me compassion to move my feet. Make my feet beautiful, Lord. Send me for Jesus' glory and their salvation. Amen.